Hello, and welcome to another episode of the MCRIT podcast. My name is Scott Weingart, and today I figured I'd talk about a rather controversial topic. Since I was a medical student, I've heard that you should never take a sick patient to CAT scan or to radiology, that CAT scan is a cold, dark place where patients go to die. That is one of the heuristics of emergency medicine. And it just gets recapitulated year after year to the point now where we graduate residents who are petrified to take sick patients out of the department. Now, I understand where this concept came from. I understand that radiology is really not the best place in the world to be coding patients or to have a sick patient decompensate. But the pendulum has swung too far. And we have patients with possible aortic dissection or pulmonary embolism who are sitting in the department waiting for hours to try to get that elusive TEE from a cardiologist who has to come in from home when the answer could be given within minutes by leaving the department. Case that was relayed to me the other day. Patient, hypotensive. Thought is, patient could have massive PE, the bedside transthoracic echo inconclusive, and the team did not want to push thrombolytics just based on history alone. Waited 4 hours with MAPs in the area of 35 to 40 for a cardiologist to come in and do a TEE. Now, some of you might say, well, that you should just lyse that patient if the history was suggestive, and that's fine. You could say that. Team involved didn't want to give lysis. The story wasn't good enough. So what do? Do you wait those hours? I've watched pelvic trauma patients wait 50 minutes in the department getting an open DPL when the answer could have been given to CT scan, and then the patient could have immediately proceeded to either angio or the operating room. Now, you could argue it should not take 50 minutes to do a DPL, and that's something I don't have any control over. But really, was the patient more stable sitting in the department than they would have been in the CAT scanner? When I was doing my fellowship in trauma and critical care, we would take the sickest patients to CAT scan. Now, it was done in a very organized fashion. The CAT scanner was inches away from the resuscitation bay. But most EDs these days are not taking patients, 2 miles to go to a CT scanner. Most of the time it's by the department. So how do you go to the CT scanner with a critically ill patient in the safest manner possible? Hypotensive patient on pressors or patient who you're worried about decline? Well, first off, I would say patient needs to be intubated. Even if their problem is not necessarily respiratory, let's say you have a septic shock patient, you want to see if they have intra-abdominal abscess that needs drainage, I would just intubate. Now, going to CT with an unprotected airway in a critically ill patient, that's when all those warnings come true about really not a great place to have respiratory decline is in the CAT scanner. So that patient needs to be tubed. They need to have their respiratory status fixed before they go to the CT scanner. And you need to have a ventilator in CT to place the patient on that could have the same settings they had in the department. And at that point, protected airway, endotracheal tube, well secured, ventilator in the CT scanner, you're not doing anything different over there than you were doing back in the ED. So don't take the non-intubated patient who's critically ill to CT scan. If you're capable, these patients really benefit from arterial line monitoring because now you have a definitive blood pressure, pulse, and some idea of the patient's volume status that is not going to fail you when their arm's being moved, like the blood pressure cuff often does. And you can just look up at the monitor and know exactly what's going on with that patient. All right, so they're intubated. They have an A-line. And then you got to prepare for whatever decline they could have. Which means if the patient's blood pressure is borderline, you load them up with fluids before you go. You bring extra fluids with you. You put up a norepinephrine drip, even if they don't need it right now. You hang the bag, you set the pump up, and you have it all ready to go. So if you need to turn it on over there, you do so. Alternatively, or perhaps in addition, you have the IV push pressors set up and ready. You have a syringe with epinephrine for IV push and a syringe of phenylephrine IV push. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you got to listen to the previous podcast and learn about push dose pressors. But you have those with you. And bring some code meds too. Bring some epinephrine in code dosage. Bring some atropine. You need a good monitor. You need a monitor that can monitor your A-line, monitor your pulse ox. Be really beautiful if you have one that'll do end-tidal CO2. Then the most important part of all this, you don't send the patient with a nurse or a transporter when they're critically ill. You send your senior resident, and if you're smart, if you're an attending listening to this podcast, you go with the patient. And you provide the patient with the same medical personnel they would have in the department at the CT scanner. Now, if you do all that, you got the patient intubated, you have an A-line, you have all your drugs, you have fluids, and you have a good monitor, then really, what is the difference between the care they're getting in the department and the care they're getting at CT scan? In my mind, there is no difference. In my mind, at that point, the patient's just as safe in the CT scanner as they are in the department. And you have your answer. So I know this is provocative. I know this goes against one of the tenets of emergency medicine. So I want to hear from you. Send me an email. My email address is me@mcrit.org, or just go to the contact link on the blog page, blog.mcrit.org. Tell me what you think, or put some comments in the comments section. Am I off base here, or are we just teaching this by rote, and it's not really true in all circumstances? I want to hear your opinions. I also want to hear any suggestions you have for future podcasts. If there's stuff you want to hear about, drop me a line and tell me what you want to hear. And if you're not subscribed already, subscribe. You'll know when new podcasts are coming out, and I'll know you're out there. All right. It's a short one this week. That's all. I'll talk to you soon. Hope to hear from you.